Western Force.
Thank you. From today, victims of crime in England and Wales who've had their case dropped will have the right to challenge the Crown Prosecution Service's decision. Once a victim has been told no charges are being brought, they will have a right to review. Victims will have a 3-month time limit in which to submit their appeal. The new right to review policy will potentially apply to about 100,000 cases each year and was devised by the Director of Public Prosecutions, Keir Starmer. He spoke to Nikki on Breakfast and explained how the policy might benefit victims.
In many cases, what victims want is a better understanding or explanation of what the decision was in the first place. So if we can resolve that swiftly within weeks, then that will deal with many of these cases. If that's not possible, then we've got a team of reviewers in London that will deal with the cases that can't be resolved locally. And therefore, what we're trying to establish is a swift, straightforward system that victims can understand and access. Now, obviously, we're going to have to manage this. So we've agreed to put this in place and review it after 3 months to see what the figures actually are, mm-hmm. to see which number of cases get resolved locally and which have to go off to the full review team.
So, Keir Starmer, people will not need a lawyer. They can go straight to this arbitration process or these arbitrators in London. Is that right?
No, they absolutely don't need a lawyer.
Right.
All they need to do is to indicate to us that they'd like us to look again at the decision, and we will then put the review in place. So it's very straightforward. It's intended to be straightforward and uncomplicated.
Let's talk to Stephen Parkinson, head of the Criminal Litigation Department at Kingsley Napier Solicitors, and also Claire Waxman, whose case we followed closely on the programme. Claire Waxman was stalked by a man for 10 years. He Googled her name thousands of times, posed as a prospective parent at her child's nursery, and made hundreds of late-night phone calls to her, and was first convicted of harassing her in 2005 and has since been jailed twice for breaching a restraining order. He's currently serving the second year of his sentence and is out on licence. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Victoria.
Stephen Parkinson, first of all, what do you think of this right to review and how it might work in practice?
Well, first of all, I think it is a good thing. There's always been a right to complain about a prosecution decision, but until now there hasn't been a clear procedure by which to follow through your complaints. As Keir Starmer was saying this morning, in the first instance, there'll be an attempt to explain the reasons for the decision. But if that doesn't work, then there will be a right to a review by a completely fresh individual, and I think that will improve confidence in the system. I do have some concerns, though. Although there's a 3-month time limit for initiating a complaint, in complex and sensitive cases, there's no time limit on the CPS for how long it takes them to review their decision. And I think that's wrong. I think that suspects are entitled to some certainty. We're talking about cases where they will already have been informed that they're not to be prosecuted. I think they're entitled to finality and to a time limit for the process to come to an end. I'm also concerned that victims shouldn't be misled by this policy. The principles that the CPS applied with the original decision will continue with the new decision. There's got to be enough evidence to justify a prosecution, and it's got to be in the public interest. And often the decision won't change because the right decision has been made. And I really do hope that CPS will put a lot of resource into communicating the reasons for their decisions, because I think that might then avoid unnecessary appeals. And the final thing is I query whether they will have the resources to deal with this. They're already subject to 25% cuts. This is new work. If the system is to come in, it's got to be effective and it's got to be timely. Otherwise, both victims and suspects will suffer.
So are you envisaging that CPS staff will, if a victim wants to get them to look at it again, look at a case again and review their decision not to prosecute, will then spend time, rereading the evidence? Or practically, what will happen?
Well, what will happen in the first instance is that the victim will complain to the local area, and the decision will be reviewed. And obviously, if the conclusion is that it's wrong, then a prosecution will commence. If the original decision stands, then an explanation will be provided, which I think will be in writing. If the victim is then dissatisfied with that, they can then appeal effectively to headquarters in London, and a fresh person will come in and review the case.
Right.
And that's, you know, that will be particularly resource intensive because a new person's got to read the papers from scratch.
Okay. Claire Waxman, what do you think of this right to review policy?
Well, I have to say, I think it's a positive step. I can only go on the victims that I've spoken to, and obviously from my own personal experience with my case, there were times CPS dropped charges a number of times regarding my case, and so I would have liked to have had the opportunity to use this vehicle because it was mainly down to a lack of understanding of harassment and stalking that the CPS would drop the charges. I don't know if it would have applied to my case where I had to take the CPS to the High Court because they chose not to proceed with a prosecution. They'd started the prosecution and they dropped the prosecution. And I think I think in some cases, because they offered no evidence, it was then dropped. And I would like that looked at as well, that area. Mm. But we talk about time limits for defendants. I mean, we have to also look at time limits for victims. Victims are often left for a very long time waiting to hear what's happening with their case, whether the defendant is going to be charged or not. And then obviously waiting for months on end for a trial to happen, and trials are delayed and adjourned for one reason or another. So whilst, yes, okay, we can look at time limit for defendants, I think we always have to look at, you know, let's look at the victims' rights again, which is what we're trying to push all the time, you know, the time limits for victims and what the unnecessary distress and anxiety they have to go through because of lots of delays. Mm. But I think today it's positive news. It will be interesting to see how they manage this, the CPS. And it is definitely down to communication. I know that I found out various times about my case through the media and not personally from a prosecutor.
Yes.
And that was also very upsetting. So I think the way in which they communicate with victims and deal with victims has always had to be looked at. And I'm pleased that they're starting to look at that.
Stephen Parkinson, that point that Claire made about communication, do you think if prosecutors regularly updated a victim on the nature of the evidence and what was being looked at that week or that month, then when they were given a final decision, it may not be such a shock to them, and they may not then think, well, I want this reviewed. How can there not be enough evidence for a realistic chance of conviction?
I certainly do agree that lack of communication, lack of updates adds to stress. And there's certainly a case for that. The police are often the primary contact with victims rather than the CPS, and so the CPS can seem a bit remote. I think it's unlikely, though, that the CPS would provide a running commentary on their considerations in the case. In fact, I think it would be wrong for them to do so. So there is scope for certainly saying to victims, this is where we got to, this is how long we think it would take.
Mm.
But I don't think it would be appropriate to have a running discussion about the way they're considering the case.
Okay, but even communication along the lines you've just suggested, which Claire Waxman certainly didn't receive, would be really helpful, wouldn't it?
I completely agree. And, you know, in a sense, it's a shame that we're now having to introduce a system of formal reviews, whereas, you know, as Claire was saying, and I completely agree with her, effective communication of the reasons behind decisions introduces some humanity into the process for a start and can often deal with the concerns. The CPS will only very rarely speak direct to a victim, only if they're in certain vulnerable categories. Mm. Normally it's left to the police to have that discussion. And that's fine if the police are on board with the decision, agree with it and understand the reasons for it. But if they disagree with it or they've misunderstood the reasons for it, then that's where the problems begin. I think alongside this review process, the CPS ought to consider putting more resources into providing some link between the public and the decision maker so that people can actually pick up the phone and speak to someone in the CPS and get an explanation
Yes.
over the phone.
What about that, Claire Waxman? In some cases, the police will feel they have collected enough evidence when they pass the file to the CPS. The CPS will look at it and say, I'm sorry, there's not enough
Yeah.
here. So that there is that schism, if you like, between the investigating officers and the CPS.
All the time. I mean, I have to say, I hear it all the time. Police get very frustrated with CPS's decisions. And so that makes the victim even more frustrated because you've got the police on side, but you've got this CPS that's the stumbling block. And I think, as Stephen said, rightly so, there needs to be more communication. I mean, I know I've been so frustrated because you don't get to communicate with your prosecutor. You'll turn up at trial. You're not even really allowed to meet them beforehand. And how is that a fair justice system? You know, the defense gets to work with, the defendant gets to work with their defense team, but as a victim, you're just seen as a piece of evidence, and you're not actually having any relationship with the prosecutor. So already you're in an unfair, on an unfair footing. And I think that has to be addressed. There has to be more relationship because, as we said, the police don't often agree with prosecution. They don't always understand their decisions. So there has to be this relationship. As Stephen said, not so detailed like every week you're updating, but some form of communication and someone that you can link to within the prosecution, within the CPS, to discuss matters with. Because after all, the victim should be central to the process. We really need to, you know, push on victims' rights within the criminal justice system and not keep using and abusing victims as pieces of evidence. So this is something that has to change within the system. Well, that's how I feel and how a lot of campaigners who campaign for victims' rights feel as well. So this is, you know, an issue that does need addressing.
Thank you both very much, Claire Waxman and Stephen Parkinson, Head of Criminal Litigation at Kingsley Napier Solicitors.